Welcome to the Resilient Mind Podcast. In this episode, you will be listening to Affirmations for Mental Resilience with Louise Hay. Get access to the Resilient Mind Journal by clicking the link in the show notes. Enjoy.
This is just motivation. We are all currently on a journey. And I believe that the more conscious we are about it, and the more choices we make consciously, the better our journey is, or the easier or the quicker it is, that we get more rewards or that we have better health. You are not limited to just your physical form. You are pure consciousness. You are a divine, magnificent expression of life. You are interconnected with every aspect of life. And despite this, you are not subject to the influence of any other person, location, or topic. Because you are the only thinker that exists within your head. You are the one who has the power to create, and you are the one who has the final say in your life.
We are put on this planet with total freedom, and we make these choices in our minds. No person, place, or thing can think for us if we do not allow it. We are the only person who thinks in our mind. In our minds, we have total freedom. What we choose to think and believe can change our current circumstances beyond recognition. I am free to think wonderful thoughts. I move beyond past limitations into freedom. I am now becoming all that I am created to be. I release all fears and doubts. Fears and doubts are only delay mechanisms that keep us from having the good we say we want in our lives, so let them go. I now choose to free myself from all destructive fears and doubts. I accept myself and create peace in my mind and heart. I am loved and I am safe. Divine wisdom guides me. Too many of us are unaware that we have within us an inner wisdom that is always on our side. We don't pay attention to our intuition, and then we wonder why life does not work well. Learn to listen to your inner voice. You do know exactly what to do. I am guided throughout this day in making right choices. Divine intelligence continuously guides me in the realization of my goals, and I am safe. I love life. Every morning when I wake up, I get to experience another great day, a day I've never lived before. It will have its own special experiences, and I'm glad to be alive. It is my birthright to live fully and freely. I give to life exactly what I want life to give to me. I am glad to be alive. I love life. I love my body. I'm so delighted to live in my wonderful body. It has been given to me to use for the rest of my life, and I cherish it and take loving care of it. My body is precious to me. I love every inch of it inside and out. That which I see and that which I don't see, every organ and gland, every muscle and bone, every single cell. My body responds to this loving attention by giving me vibrant health and aliveness. I create peacefulness in my mind, and my body reflects this peacefulness as perfect health. I turn every experience into an opportunity. When I experience a problem, and we all have them, I immediately say, out of this situation only good will come. This is easily resolved for the highest good of all concerned. All is well, and I am safe. I repeat this statement over and over. It keeps me calm and allows the universe to find the best solution. I am often amazed to see how quickly the issue can be resolved in a way that benefits everyone. Each problem has a solution. All experiences are opportunities for me to learn and grow, and I am safe. I am at peace. Deep at the center of my being, there is an infinite well of peace, like a mountain lake, deep and serene. No person, place, or outer chaos can touch me when I am in this space. In this space, I am calm. I think clearly, I receive divine ideas, and I am so peaceful. Divine peace and harmony surround me and dwell in me. I feel tolerance, compassion, and love for all people, myself included. Attack the dawn. It was early, always early, when Toni Morrison awoke to write. In the dark, she would move quietly, making that first cup of coffee. She'd sit at her desk in her small apartment, and as her mind cleared and the sun rose and the light filled the room, she would write. She did this for years, practicing this secular ritual, used not just by writers, but by countless busy and driven people for all time. Writers all devise ways to approach that place where they expect to make the contact, she'd later reflect, where they become the conduit, or where they engage in this mysterious process. For me, light is the signal in the transition. It's not being in the light, it's being there before it arrives. It enables me, in some sense, but of course, it was as practical as it was spiritual, because at the beginning of her career, Morrison was also a single working mother of two young boys. Her job as an editor for Random House occupied her days, her children every other minute, and by the late evening, she was burned out, too tired to think. It was the precious early morning hours between the parting dark and the rising dawn, before her boys uttered the word Mama, before the pile of manuscripts from work demanded her attention, before the commute, before the phone calls, before the bills beckoned, before the dishes needed to be done. It was then that she could be a writer. Early, she was free. Early, she was confident and clear-headed and full of energy. Early, the obligations of life existed only in theory and not in fact. All that mattered, all that was there, was the story, the inspiration, and the art. There she was, starting her first novel in 1965, freshly divorced, 34 years old, and struggling as one of the few black women in an incredibly white male industry. Yet in her mind, this was the height of life. She was no longer a child, and yet for all her responsibilities, everything was quite simple. Her kids needed her to be an adult. So did her unfinished novel. Wake up. Show up. Be present. Give it everything you've got. Which she did. Even after The Bluest Eye was published to rave reviews in 1970. She followed it with 10 more novels, 9 nonfiction works, 5 children's books, 2 plays, and short stories, and she earned herself a National Book Award, a Nobel Prize, and a Presidential Medal. Yet, for all the plaudits, she must have been most proud of having done it while being a great mother, a great working mother. Of course, it's not exactly fun to wake up early. Even the people who have reaped a lifetime of benefits from it still struggle with it. You think you're not a morning person. Nobody is a morning person, but at least in the morning we are free. Hemingway would talk about how he'd get up early because there was no one to disturb you, and it is cool or cold, and you come to your work and warm as you write. Morrison found she was just more confident in the morning before the day had exacted its toll and the mind was fresh. Like most of us, she realized she was just not very bright or very witty or very inventive after the sun goes down. Who can be? After a day of banal conversations, frustrations, mistakes, and exhaustion. Not that it's all about being clever. There's a reason COs hit the gym early. They still have willpower then. There's a reason people read and think in the morning. They know they might not get time later. There's a reason coaches get to the facility before everyone else. They can get a jump on the competition that way. Be up and doing while you're fresh, while you can. Grab that hour before daylight. Grab that hour before traffic. Grab it while no one is looking, while everyone else is still asleep. In Marcus Aurelius's Meditations, We hear the most powerful man in the world trying to convince himself to get out of bed at dawn when the lower part of himself wants desperately to stay. "Is this what I was created for?" he asks of his reluctance. "To huddle under the blankets and stay warm?" "Yes, it is nicer under there. But is that what we were born for, to feel nice? That's how you're going to spend the gift of life, the gift of this present moment that you will never have again. Don't you see the plants, the birds, the ants, and the spiders and the bees going about their individual tasks, putting the world in order as best they can?" he said to himself, but also to us. "And you're not willing to do your job as a human being. Why aren't you running to do what your nature demands? Yet here we are, thousands of years later, still hitting the snooze button on our alarms. Here we are, wasting the most productive hours of the day, choosing to reject these moments before the interruptions, before the distractions, before the rest of the world gets up and going too, passing on the opportunity to gather our flowering potential while it's freshest, still shining with morning dew."
Thank you for tuning in. Continue strengthening your mind by listening to our other episodes.